Turn with me, please, to 1 Kings chapter 10. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said unto the king, It was a true report that I had heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. Dear young people, there are some things in life that you must enter into for yourself. There are things that others cannot make you enter into or understand. They're personal. I believe they're not teachable. They're only known by individual experience. And I think we see something of that here in the case of this queen of Sheba going up to see Solomon. And it's a picture of a person who goes to find out for themselves about the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's that about the Lord Jesus that you must enter into for yourself. But if you enter into it, it brings to your heart, to your life, something that this world cannot offer. Something that you could never find in all the experiences of life. And so this queen had heard of the fame of Solomon. Every single person that's been here for the last 2 days has heard of the fame of Solomon. We have had before us the person. We have had before us something of the glory of Christ. and the glory of God revealed to us in the person of the Son, in the person of Christ. And so every one of us that's been here for 2 days has heard something of the fame of Solomon. The Queen of Sheba had heard the words from others. She talks about that when she comes to Solomon. But she didn't enter into the enjoyment of it until she came for herself. And so she comes. It says she came. She came to prove him with hard questions. There are people who have spent their whole lifetime struggling with hard questions. There are many who have a bent for it, who have given their lives searching out some single difficult question that man has raised that they're trying to find an answer to. Sometimes successfully, sometimes they have been unsuccessful, and they have finished their life and never been able to come to the conclusion to the question that occupied their whole lifetime, perhaps a question of science, whatever it might be. But oh, this woman came to Solomon. She came to the person that could truly answer the hard questions in her life. Have you ever had a hard question and you struggled with the question and you said, who can I go to? Who understands this particular subject? And you go to that person and maybe they help you, maybe they don't. There's a brother here this afternoon that when I have a car question, some difficulty with my automobile, I naturally think of him as someone that may be able to help me with that question, and I go to him if I can't figure it out myself. But sometimes even such help doesn't prove complete. And then sometimes I felt myself stopping and saying, Donald, you didn't go to the Lord, the one that can answer all hard questions, whether they have to do with your automobile or anything else. And of course, we know there are questions of life more important than automobiles. And so she came, no doubt, to prove him with the questions of life. The important thing to begin with is that she came. And so I would just ask you, have you come? Have you come to the Lord Jesus in your life yet? If you haven't, you haven't started. You haven't even begun. She had to come a long way. Apparently, it was a very, very long journey for her to come to see Solomon. But you don't have to go far to come to the Lord Jesus, do you? The Lord Jesus, as it were, has come to you. He's come to you in the last 2 days, and he's been knocking, perhaps at your heart's door. Have you opened it to him? She cared enough to come, and so she comes. And she had quite a bit to bring with her. And people are like that. Young people are like that. Older people are like that. We all tend to be like that. We think about what we have to give or bring. We think about ourselves and we say, well, I can do this, or I can do that, or I can do the other. I'm thankful that I've been given this particular talent or that particular talent, and so we come to bring it. And she came to bring these things to Solomon, or at least she brought them with her. But that really wasn't what was going to satisfy her heart. And it wasn't what was going to satisfy Solomon's heart either. You may say, well, what am I going to give to the Lord? He wants your heart. If he doesn't have our hearts, nothing else really counts. So, could be said in the Proverbs of Solomon, my son, give me thine heart. Oh, God wants our hearts above all else. He wants our hearts above all else. Sometimes we, and perhaps rightly so, we ask the Lord what he wants us to do. And sometimes we don't seem to know and understand, and it is an exercise of faith. But have we given him our heart? Have we started at the beginning, as it were, and given him our hearts? We might be willing to give him our time. We might be willing to give him something that we feel that we have to offer. But we might want to keep our hearts for ourselves. My son, give me thine heart. But you know, she comes to Solomon and she's open. It's wonderful, isn't it? It says she communed with him of all that was in her heart. There's reality there. There's not pretense, is there? She wasn't pretending with Solomon. She didn't talk about the subject with Solomon. You know, sometimes we meet somebody, maybe a fellow young person or even an adult, or maybe we're on the receiving end of a conversation and someone speaks to us and we don't want to just come right out and say what's on our heart. So we talk about the subject. We kind of hint at the subject. We hope they'll get kind of an understanding of something, but we don't want to quite pin the problem back as to ourselves. And so we sort of speak about something as if it was a general question. And maybe on the other side, the person is sitting there listening to us and they're saying in their hearts or in their thoughts, I know they've got a problem and they're trying to tell me something, but they don't want to quite come out and say it. What is it? Oh, dear young people, yesterday we had before us the fact that the Lord knows our hearts. He knows all about us. And he still cares. He still loves us. He knows every single hidden thought, every single sin that we've ever done. And yet his heart goes out toward us. And so her heart was opened up to speak to Solomon. And oh, the Lord Jesus, he wants reality with us. Maybe we don't open up to somebody else, but oh, may we not be encouraged to open up to him. To open up to him. And so she communes with him of all that is in her heart. And how does he respond? Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. Isn't it wonderful to look at the life of the Lord Jesus and see him work with souls? The woman comes to him at the well of Sychar. And when you watch the, listen, as it were, reading through the conversation between the Lord Jesus and the woman, it's as if they were talking on two different subjects. It almost has the appearance that they weren't communicating. She says one thing and the Lord answers in such a way that it doesn't even appear that he's answering the questions that she's asking. Oh, isn't it a wonderful thing to realize that if we would only bring our hearts to the Lord Jesus, he's greater than our hearts. We may not even be able to express to him our longing or our need, but he understands. He understands. Even if we can't express it, he understands it and he meets it, the real need, not necessarily the perceived need that we may have. He wants us to come. Yes, I know that sometimes we come and we think we're disappointed. I very well remember when I was a boy, perhaps 5 or 6 years old, and I had been told that the Lord could answer prayer. So I wanted something. And I told the Lord what I wanted. I told the Lord that I wanted a bow and an arrow, or some arrows. And I further told the Lord where he could put them. There was a toy box that my grandfather had made, and I explained to the Lord that he could put those, the bow and arrow, right behind the toy box, and I would go and find it there. And I went, and it wasn't there. And I was disappointed. So I decided, well, I would ask some more for it. So I went back up to my room, and I got down on my knees, and I asked the Lord for that bow and arrow. And I went back down again, and I didn't find it. And I was disappointed. It seemed as if the Lord didn't hear, or as if he didn't really do what he said he would do, which was answer prayer. And I needed some help understanding why I didn't get my bow and arrow that day. And I thank the Lord for the lesson that has since, in measure at least, been learned about asking, and asking for myself, my own pleasure, and asking for the Lord's sake. So sometimes we may find that we don't always get the response that we hope for or think we're going to have. But the Queen of Sheba went to Solomon, and the Lord knew and understood, and he was working for her good. Solomon was working for the Queen of Sheba. The Lord is working with your heart and your life for your good and your blessing. And so then the Queen of Sheba sees Solomon's wisdom. You have to come to see. And as we had yesterday, if you're blind, you need your blindness taken away. That is, you need to be saved before you'll have eyes to see. But for those that have eyes, oh, to see the wisdom of a greater than Solomon. See the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. To see his glory. That word glory means manifested excellence. Manifested excellence. We see that word all through the Word of God, particularly in connection with God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, once our eyes are opened and we open the Word of God, what excellence, what glory is to be found in occupation with Christ as presented to us in His Word, and the glory of God that we see in Christ. Solomon had glory, tremendous glory. There wasn't a king like him. Perhaps there was not one that had, in all the history of man, measured up to Solomon. His kingdom was excellent in the eyes of man. He had a place, and it's described here what she saw when she came into his kingdom, and she saw those that waited upon Solomon. She saw what was provided at his table for her pleasure and enjoyment and for his. And it says there was no more spirit in her. Her own kingdom didn't measure up to that. All that she had to give didn't even come up. Wasn't even worth considering in the light of Solomon's presence and that excellence that was made known to her concerning Solomon. Oh, perhaps he represents the greatest of glory that man can ever hope to obtain. There's not a man on the earth today that in any way compares in glory to Solomon's glory in that day. No, there's not a man that's living today whose position, whose place, the honor that men hold him in, that in any way compares to Solomon and his glory. And there's nothing that you and I can go after, seek after in our life that will compare either. But you know, we have a verse in the New Testament that speaks of, can I use the expression, a lowly flower? And it speaks of that flower that Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. We had the privilege, and I just want to, as an object lesson, I borrowed this from the kitchen. Here's a flower. If you think of all that man has ever achieved, his finest inventions, his greatest achievements, Solomon may represent that. But you think of our day and people and some of the greatest achievements that man, by God's allowance, have been able to search out and do. And you pick whatever you want and you put it beside these flowers and the very best looks crude. Looks crude. You wouldn't want to take anything that man has ever achieved in the whole history of man and come and put it beside these flowers and say, now this compares in glory to that. The excellency of this invention, of this achievement of mankind, compares favorably to this flower. Well, you wouldn't. But what about the excellency of the Creator of this flower? What about the glory of the one that is the maker of this flower? What about the fact that that's just one single aspect, and not even the highest one either, of the glory of the person and place. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Creator, as God. And there's tremendous glory, incomparable glory, greater to the Maker than to the thing made. But to think of Him coming into this world as a man, hiding that glory, and coming down here as a man, living among men, going to the cross, taking our sins upon Himself, bearing our judgment in His own body on the tree, and then being raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, now seated as a man at God's right hand, crowned with glory and honor. Do you see it for your own soul? Standing here this afternoon and speaking to you is in a little sense like a person that attempts to describe to someone that's never seen it the Grand Canyon. Now, if you've ever seen the Grand Canyon, you know immediately something of the grandeur, something of the glory of that place. The feeling it may give you to walk along level ground and come to the edge and look down. But it can't be described. You can simply say to someone, come and see. So, the Lord Jesus, as a man, was here on earth. And there was one that came before Him, John the Baptist. And there were two disciples with John the Baptist. And what did he say? He said, I want to tell you lots of things about this person. No, he simply said, behold, the Lamb of God. Oh, I say to you, dear young people, I say to my own heart, behold, the Lamb of God. What is it that will spoil the world for you? Behold, the Lamb of God. It's been said, what is it that makes this, we sing about it, this world is a wilderness wide. Is it when we run into a trial or a problem that we can't seem to solve or that's totally beyond us? And then we can sing, this world is a wilderness wide? No. That may be what we do sometimes. 'Tis the treasure we found in His love that has made us now pilgrims below. What is it that controls our lives? It's what we enjoy. It's what we have our eye fixed upon that forms us. And so John could say, behold, the Lamb of God. Apparently, shortly after that, one of those two came to his brother, that they are presenting something to you that they are enjoying. that is real to them. It's to be real to you and I also. And so the Queen of Sheba came. And she said, the reports are true. Dear young people, they are true. They are true. And what does she say? Howbeit, I believe not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. I've always enjoyed one time our brother Ron Reeves spoke, and he said his subject was Believing Thomas. Believing Thomas. Thomas saw, Thomas believed. Will you not, will I not see and believe? Thy wisdom, the half had not been, was not told me. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. To enter in one's own soul, into the enjoyment of the love of Christ, of the grace of Christ, of the work of Christ, of the perfection of his life and his person, you can only enter into it in your own soul and then exclaim, as it were, the half had not been told. That is, all that others might tell you about him doesn't even measure up to half of what it is to enter into it for yourself. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame that I heard. You say, how do I enter into it? You just sit down and say, I'm going to enter in. No, I don't believe so. It's found for us in the living Word of God. When we sit down with the Word of God in our hands and we read it, and we think about it, the Spirit of God takes that word and makes it real in our hearts and in our lives. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. And he wanted to be in the very presence of the Lord, that he might enter in. And so Mary had the wonderful privilege of sitting down at the feet of the Lord Jesus and finding joy and satisfaction for her own soul. You say, nobody understands me and my problems and my circumstances. Perhaps that's true. I might say further, yes, no one understands you, including yourself. We don't even understand ourselves. But we can go to one that does understand. We can go to one that answers every hard question and can fill our souls to overflowing. That's what worship is, isn't it? It's when our own souls are enjoying the Lord Jesus in our hearts in such a way that they're caused to overflow. Nothing in the world can fill us. Nothing. You can waste your lifetime finding it out, or you can accept what God has to say. But the Lord Jesus is greater than our hearts, and He can fill us to overflowing. And what is the result? Wonderful result. More honor and glory to God. It is to God's glory that He would take creatures that have fallen like we have and bring us near to Himself, present us as in love to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, purpose for us to be part of that scene of glory, that we can now, in a little measure, glimpse by faith and realize that in it, God is glorified. God will be eternally glorified. It is to the honor and glory and praise of Himself to take such as we and bring us into that place that is ours. Peter could speak of it with joy in his soul, and he would have us speak of it with joy too. Oh, may we, dear young people, I say again, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed from glory unto glory.